comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Spirit Book Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers, and authors who are in the communication. We have some education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth of the mix of personal existence, so that and on today's show, we're going to be discussing your spiritual development and also protection techniques that you might find beneficial to use during your development. And the question that we have here from you is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers is 001-530-876-3222. And don't forget, this is not a reading show, but we can certainly help you with any personal development problems that you have, or any questions or comments that you'd like to add about the subject of today's program, which is your spiritual development and protection techniques.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on the wonderful and very ever-present and expanding bbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading or any of the other diagnostic services we offer, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she'll explain a little more about the process, the mechanical situation, and what we actually go through in this program. Okay, bye for now and for this week. Yes, bye.
Thanks, Mick.
You're welcome.
Yes, the spirit guide who you're about to talk to, or listen to rather, well, I'm talking to hopefully, Gregory, he consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information we need to know in order to move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. To understand the nature of our existence is paramount, and hopefully to save our world from the is their hope. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means there is no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. As Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, the number to call is, in the US, 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-815-9756, and international callers, 001-530-876-3222. And also, if you have a suggestion for a show topic, we'd like to hear from you also. Because the spirit world don't want to come and just lecture to us about things that they want to tell us us about. They want to actually inform us about things that we want to know, really. So it's all about what we want to know and what they feel we need to know, and maybe we can join in the middle somewhere along the line. So anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us at the moment.
Hello, my dear friend.
Hi, Gregory.
Yes, hello.
Hello. So today we're going to be talking about developing our gifts of spirit and to do that in safety with forms of protection and that sort of thing that you're going to be talking about today.
Yes, absolutely so.
So where would you like to start?
Well, I suppose really to do with the fundamental basics. Many people, perhaps when they're into spirit communication, they may not actually know what it is they're doing. How many times have you heard of it, perhaps? People dabbling with Ouija boards and that kind of thing, getting a little drunk or inebriated at some point and using this as a sort of a recreational situation. Oh, I wonder if this will work. I wonder if we can get the glass to move. And then they tend to point fingers at each other as to who actually moved the glass in the first place, playing little mind games with one another, of course. I understand there have been some psychiatric reports upon this as to its intention perhaps of being something of the mind, to do with a mind game, really. And that the power of the mind is what actually moves the glass. And even though it may be that all of the people had their fingers left off upon it, I understand that some mediums also will actually play upon this point, that actually they think that maybe this is some form of discrimination. It actually moves a pencil across the table or something like that, or is rather a power of the mind. Which is it to be? Is it going to be one or the other? Is it the spirit intensity that does that? We have to ask ourselves if, for example, it is an outer world or ether world experience that you are engaging in at this time. Shall we say it's glass upon the table? Is it actually a good spirit or is it not? How do you know if you do not actually say an invocation to begin with? If you do not lay down the parameter with which you sit, with which you ask of the spirit world, if you don't say to them, I would like protection, then does it mean to say that you should always originally think that those guides or helpers, or nay, angels perhaps who walk with you, that they're always going to protect you, so you shouldn't have to say anything? I know a lot of people on the physical side of life think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that way, that they're always going to be protected, whatever they do, so they don't actually have to say anything. They don't have to say any prayer or whatever when they walk into a place which is encrusted in negativity in some way. They don't have to say any prayer or invocation when they are about to sit at a Ouija board, no matter how inebriated or how completely compass members they are.
Well, you're obviously going to say this different.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
It is, in fact, that for many beings, regardless of the status of that person's spirit guide, perhaps their doorkeeper or whosoever it be, they do not run your free will. And your free will of your physical life depicts that you should not take it for granted that the spirit world are always going to be at your behest.
Well, we have to learn lessons by cause and effect on this particular planet that we're
yes.
on. So, presumably, if they kept, saving us from these sorts of situations, we're never going to find out that actually they are having to save us from these situations. So, at some point, when we are being reckless, then something has to happen for us to change our course.
Yes.
And that's a lesson in itself, isn't it? That's not meaning that they have abandoned us necessarily, but
no.
It's a way of teaching us in a different way, because we're not listening in other respects, are we, through our other senses?
That is very true. Absolutely so. And it is always good for people to realize that the most respect that they can create is by saying a respectful invocation when you actually begin something which is out of the ordinary of your ordinary day. Now, what then if you have a medium who says, ah, but that is my ordinary day. I'm always walking around, perhaps, and I'm always open to spirit, and actually take great store by that effect. Oh, well, I'm always open to spirit. I have them coming in all of the time. How often have you heard that? And actually, it's quite scary from our point of view, from our point of life, that it means that actually you are taking it into effect, that you are protected at all times, when actually you are showing a laissez-faire attitude toward the respect of all forms of the spirit world. It may be, of course, that the subject of your mind, it may be that the state of your consciousness depicts that how you think and how you act gives you a right to be of an ascended vibration, therefore that any of these lower energies cannot hurt you or cannot actually interfere with you in any way. I know that there are many, many
just before we were about to go on air.
And we had someone else.
And we just had somebody else in there, yes. Well, this is fun, isn't it? Okay, so where were we, Gregory?
Yes, well, my friend, so as I was saying, there are many people on your side of life who actually have this form and sense of feeling about themselves where they think that, as I say, that they are loftier, that they cannot be encroached by negative feelings. And it may well be that they move through life with this as being, they're always protected by all of their angels and that kind of thing, and that no one can ever hurt them. And I understand that many people have this understanding about themselves and perhaps actually treat the whole situation of negative beings in the spirit world with some form of disdain. It actually increases the fact of the disorder of life, if you like, particularly in the spirit world, if such people actually have no notion or understanding of how the spirit world is actually made up and how it is that negative energies can sometimes control affairs and events outside of a person's knowing or, in fact, their sensitivity. And that actually what can happen is that they actually end up in taking people around with them from the spirit world who are of a negative feeling. So, and I understand that some people actually feel as though they have perhaps difficulties. They actually feel that there are negative energies around them. We will go actually back to the situation of the Ouija board and what actually happens then when, if you say an invocation and you say, well, I'm being respectful to the spirit world and I wish for this invocation to be something of clarity so that all of those who know of this situation, so that hopefully the situation will be because you ask that, you state that in your invocation. To my highest guides and helpers, second to none, bless me and keep me safe at this time, that I wish for interaction with the spirit world. I ask only for the highest and best. I ask for those energies engaged here this time, that they will be loving energies, that they will always be forthcoming of positivity, or with at least the understanding of communication, and that we are protected as always in the sight of God, you see. And in this respect, you are giving yourself and the energies you are working with the greatest grace, in order to be able to protect the environment in which you are opening yourself up to.
So would it be a good idea, before, if you knew that you were going to have some sort of Ouija board seance with friends or something like that, would it be good to actually say this invocation and ask your highest guides and helpers, your angels, whoever, whatever you call them, to be with you, to warn them that you are going to be doing that?
Yes,
that
absolutely
evening
so.
Or that day.
Yes, yes, absolutely so. Yes, quite so. And of course, the other point about this is that you would never do this when consuming alcohol. Now, I understand that there are some people who actually think nothing, perhaps, of having some kind of dinner party or whatever, and they will perhaps open themselves up to the spirit world when they are drinking wine or beer or whatever it is, and do work with from one medium to another, giving each other readings and little connections with the spirit world and that kind of thing. That too, I'm afraid, is absolutely disrespectful.
Well, disrespectful, can you explain that?
Yes, disrespectful to yourself and to those who work with you. You wouldn't like for those in the spirit world to be drunk or to be inebriated or intoxicated in some way. Don't forget, friends, that even one sip of alcohol changes your perception and means that you are not of the highest and best. If you are asking in a prayer for only the highest and best to join you in the spirit world, then surely it should mean that you reciprocate that respect.
Yes, you wouldn't want anybody coming through after they'd had a drink, would you?
No, quite so.
You wouldn't expect that.
Yes, or somebody coming and swearing or whatever. I know that this has been an occasion for some mediums of the past, and I'm not saying that that is completely avoidable. I'm saying that for some mediums it may well be that, for example, Uncle Harry or whoever it is from the spirit world who used to enjoy a glass or two or more than that, perhaps they were very inebriated, perhaps they were besotted with drink, and that actually they were using choice language and all of that as well. And of course, if they actually came through and did that, well, all you are doing is bringing through the character of the person. And if, of course, you are a genuine trance medium who brings that, that is the spirit of the person who comes through, like Leslie Flint, for example, many of the people who actually spoke through him were just ordinary folk, lowly folk from time to time, who would actually talk in exactly the same way and exactly the same behavior that they would exhibit as they did in their physical life. And of course, that is part of the work of the spirit world too. That doesn't mean to say that they are lower life forms or something like that. So you have to be careful not to denigrate the situation. However, I do understand that if you are a person who is trying to work with the spirit world in the most respectful way that you can, then you need to be respectful and show that in your behavior.
So, with the Ouija board, we've taken that as an example.
Yes.
I mean, we're not saying that it's a bad thing particularly to do that. It's the way that it's used, correct?
Yes, Yes, and I do understand that there are some people who have brought out these new Ouija board or whatever, and just because they've attached their name to it, they then think that it's that everything's well, and you're just going to use the angels in order to bless it and everything.
Right,
and,
it's a spiritual sort of Ouija board.
Yes, 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 but actually the same condition still applies.
Hmm.
And so just because you have done that and you have something, some object with someone's name upon it, means absolutely nothing at all. It's actually still the very simple case of a planchette, and what you are doing is dealing with the planchette in a certain specific way. You are opening yourself up within this aspect, the auspices of the spirit world, to gather around you and for communication to commence. If you are going to use that kind of vehicle, you have to be aware of its intonations and the possibilities. It's exactly the same, dear friends, if you used a crystal, a pendulum, or something like that, or if you used divining rods. What's the difference between divining rods or a pendulum? I understand that some people will say, well, a crystal pendulum, you are dealing with the energies of the crystal and all of that. Other people would actually refute that and say, well, actually, no, it's nothing to do with the crystal. The crystal's just a piece of rock. What you're actually doing is using it as a placebo for your spirit, and that actually purely what you are doing is communicating with your spirit, and that activity itself, from your spirit to the spirit you're communicating with, is actually giving the effect of the crystal moving from one direction to another. Other people, I'm playing a bit of a devil's advocate here, other people will actually say, ah, but the actual movement of the crystal is just brought about by the balances of the mind, and it's actually your conscious thought setting, the ability of your consciousness to direct active movements outside of your physical state through brain wave transmission.
You can move it like that, though, can't you?
Absolutely. Because so I'm not denying it.
Yes.
Yes.
So there are lots of different ways that the crystal are dowsing. So, yeah, basically, if you're dowsing for something, for answers.
Yes.
Okay. Shall we talk about that specifically? If you're dowsing for answers.
Yes.
If you particularly wanted a yes, then the
a
light...
yes is what you're going to get.
Absolutely. So, yes, yes. Very often that can be the case.
Yes.
How does one counteract that, then?
Well, what you have to do is to actually make a conscious effort of not to think. At the point of you asking the question, you ask the question, and then you leave the space. And the answer should come back within the crystal, within the space that you leave.
That's very difficult, because I know we've done this a lot.
Yes.
But I guess the actual practice of sitting to still to empty your mind in meditation that we always recommend to people comes in handy here. That's the way I used it anyway.
Yes,
I sort of went into that zone.
Yes, of blankness.
Yes.
And when you have that situation of being nicely wrapped around in this blank environment, and that you don't have any thoughts or aforementioned preconceived ideas about what kind of answers that you are going to get, if you actually have that nice peace field that you are immersed in, you will actually have true responses from the spirit communicator, hopefully via the crystal. Now, does that mean to say that it's always going to work? Well, actually, a crystal is very often at risk, and it's at risk because there can be different forces available, perhaps inferences by others, not of the spirit perhaps who is trying to communicate using the crystal to communicate to you as a medium, but actually by other forces who are trying to disturb it, perhaps acting against you in some way.
Mm.
Don't forget, friend, there are many, many groups of people still steeped within their own religious divide in the spirit world after they have had a physical journey, and they are trying desperately to actually create disturbances around people who are actually trying to promote and develop their mediumship gifts.
Hmm. this is something that played out with actually a very famous, we won't mention the name, person who, a young girl that got murdered in America, that we were communicating with her, but her family, her relatives, are very, very devout, I can't remember what religion it was anyway, I won't say the religion.
Devoutly religious.
Yes, devoutly religious, who kept trying to hamper the communication that she was having with us and kept moving the crystal so that she could not answer our questions properly, wasn't it?
Yes, and she was getting more and more frustrated because she couldn't actually work the crystal properly, and at times she would be able to work it perfectly well, and then the other ancestors with this religious point of view would step in and actually completely destroy the platform that you had built up.
Yeah.
And that this, of course, we actually knew then when these energies were descending, and it wasn't necessarily that it was something that you felt yourselves.
No.
It can be very subtle.
Absolutely. But this is a classic example of how, I mean, because if you remember at the time, I wondered why you in the spirit world couldn't stop them doing this.
Yes, but it's actually because of the fact that although we were protecting you and the whole situation, they were coming in within a different vibration index. Don't forget, friends, that each one of you is of a specific vibration index. For some people, they can manipulate their vibration index so as to manipulate certain situations. And that sounds very devious. Yes, it's as devious as the human mind can become.
We were only actually doing it with her because it was good for her to have this physical interaction with us on the earth plane, wasn't it, really? We were doing it, and, you know, we had lots of communication with her for a long time, and this was just one part of it, really, to try and...
Yes, quite so.
Wasn't it? And it helped her enormously.
It did,
but
absolutely.
Unfortunately, they ruined it, and we had to actually just walk away from the situation because it was just so difficult, wasn't it?
Yes, it became impossible.
And her body's never been found, by the way, either, so... which is another shame. That's her family. So whatever.
Yes, yes. But she actually wanted to be found.
She did.
Yes.
She did. Yes.
And so these are part of the problems that many people actually come up against. And this is a part of the situation, the pathway of the physical world, that for many people they can actually encounter these different situations, different energies. Perhaps are not really fully realize or understand that there are those in the spirit world who can be extremely deviant. We also have to talk, of course, about the situation of other forms of contact within the spirit world, really, and how it is that these forms of contact can be quite disturbing, and yet on the surface seem, upon in first contact, to be perfectly all right. For example, someone then who goes to visit graveyards and that kind of thing, as we have talked about before, they want to gain EVP voice manifestations and that kind of thing. And they will actually, unfortunately, unwittingly, pick up the trails of people, pick up the attraction of them just being there and being interested, actually means to say that if they go to such a place without protection, without asking for protection, first of all, perhaps never smudging themselves or something like that. And within the smudging situation, of course, we are talking about the native ways of clearing oneself, using white sage or something like that, using smudge sticks in an anti-clockwise direction, beginning at the feet and moving around and around the physical body so that it's until you get right to the tip above your head, and then moving back around again and in a spiral, moving the sage all the way around your physical body all of the time, saying perhaps a specific invocation or whatever to ask for protection and guidance at this time, and for clearing and for healing at this time. You only really have to be specific about the kinds of words that you say, and then you just repeat the words all the time that you are doing it until you have finished. You can also, of course, use the situations of your hand upon your solar plexus or something like that if you're in a situation, as we've often said before, if you're in a situation of confrontation or something like that. That can happen very often in physical reality. You also have to be aware of mirology. That's the state of how you actually protect yourself in specific environments that you are knowingly going to confront. And this is the state of where you bring your mind consciousness into using it as a very real fabric of so that you would take, shall we say, a small round mirror or something like that, and you use that to bring an image imprint of the actual way of how you look, the way that you actually are, your skin. You would reflect it from your eyes upon your skin, and you would look at yourself all the way round so that you actually gain a picture, a mental picture image of what you look like from the outside, looking in. And this then you will be able to erect at a time of your choosing when you need protection. This is so that you reflect incoming negative energies away from you.
Yes, and then so what you do then is then you, presumably, isn't it the case that once you have formed this picture in your mind, you can call this picture up when you want it, sort of like manifest it around you.
Yes, absolutely.
The mirror
so.
Situation.
Yes, absolutely so. I know I just explained it in a few sentences, but actually it's quite an exhaustive process.
Mm.
May take several months for you to actually master the art of mirology. I would suggest that the first thing that you do is to bring it about around your head and shoulders and that kind of thing. Actually, the places that people usually come unstuck are to do with the spine, because it's actually between the fifth vertebrae of the thorax and the second vertebrae of the neck that those in the spirit world of negative state are able to latch onto, if you like, to take a hold, either in your auric field or actually in a physical way. I know that this may seem a little alarming to some people, but it's actually a fact.
Mm.
And we have dealt with many people who have extreme negative, violent situations which happen to them in their physical life. And that it's no small feat to bring this to an end.
Mm.
You cannot remember perhaps a time when you would actually be confronted by such a thing. And yet, my friends, it can happen.
Mm. And yes, we've done programs on that before, and that really
yes.
is a whole program. So,
oh, yes.
But there's for our friends that are listening that have healing qualities, and we all have healing qualities, as you said before.
Everyone.
There is a shall we say a spinal cleanse, isn't there, that can be done, that you can do on say each other in these
yes.
situations, just for a clearing, a cleansing situation, a regular sort of dust off.
Yes,
shall
absolutely.
Could you explain how somebody would do that?
Yes, absolutely. So, well, of course, it would begin with the usual prayers of protection and that kind of thing, and then what you would do is remembering, as I say, that the areas to watch out for are actually between the second vertebrae of the neck and then down to the fifth vertebrae of the thorax. So it's approximately just a little lower than the two large bones in your back, which are part of your shoulder blades. So you must remember that these situations are actually to do with the possibility of both, as I say, in the auric field and possibly to become physically attached. So what you would do is you would actually begin with sensing the energy of this particular area. Begin at the top, of course, with the crown, and in the usual way of making communication with your patient, I understand that people will have different disciplines, how they actually approach a patient or client or your friend, whoever it is. We suggest that you actually begin with really just hands on the shoulders on each side, and then to move to the crown to accept the pathway of the energy for that human being. And then what you will find is that as you move your hands very, very gradually down the back of the head, down the nape of the neck, that you actually use these this energy that will work with you to do with the spirit world, of course, that it will be actually moving down and sensing, actually, to begin with, what is actually happening with the balance of the being, with the energies which should be both rising and falling at each side of the spinal column. As the person becomes, the client becomes more relaxed and actually elated by the spirit energy which is moving through you, you would actually begin to feel changes as a healer. You will begin to feel changes in how the spirit world actually correlates the different energies within your hands, not forgetting, of course, that your right hand is most probably the positive hand, as it is with most healing people, and your left hand is the one that actually moves the energies away and is a grounding energy force, so that you always would pass negative energy through your left hand and down back to the earth. In order to bring this about successfully, you would actually probably use your right hand to the most part, to either using it in a lateral way, in a way horizontally, for specific areas where you feel that there are qualities which feel that perhaps you are drawn to within your healing experience.
What could they feel like?
And these may feel like little prickles and that kind of thing upon the palm of your hand. You may even feel that you are in communication with these energies, and that that you, in a sense, through your sensitivity, are creating a pattern within these energies and latching onto them. So understanding, oh yes, there is a negative energy here, it may well be, of course, that the way that you create with healing, with your spirit guides, that the energy becomes very cold and transient. It moves from one place to another. As you move down the spine, it will be that you will feel the relationship between yourself and the energies are, in a sense, moving the energies away, or that you will feel the energy moving across the outside of your physical body. It depends, of course, on how much you are intact with the sensitivity of the situation, apparition of this time, and how that relates to you in your spirit development, and how it relates to you in your healing gift. It may be, of course, after all, that you are not using your hands, but perhaps you are using some other adept. Perhaps you are using a crystal in order to bring about the equal balance of the energies of both sides, of both the positive and negative, the yin and the yang, of the person that you are bringing about this cleansing, and that you will actually feel the energies as they move both, as I say, up and down in different sides, different ways in which the energy moves, not forgetting ever that the spinal column should be a relatively free pattern of energy, should never be inhibitive. It may be, of course, for some people that if they're not used to having this kind of situation, that actually they get quite apprehensive at times. I'm talking about the client, of course, and that you may actually feel sometimes these energies as though they become blockages in the spinal column, and that these also need to you see, and so that actually chronic pain situations and pain gates are quite different to that, and actually aren't anything to do with negative energies from outside interference, but rather tend to happen through the distillation of the incomplete states of the neurology of the mind to do with how you actually manage pain as a physical being. That's an entirely different subject.
So doing this, would the patient be lying down or sitting?
No, can be sitting or even standing. I understand.
I would have thought that it would be better in a vertical position somehow.
Yes.
For the energy, the flow of the energy.
Yes, absolutely so. And not forgetting, of course, that if you actually have someone who is, shall we say then, that you actually come across some form of negative energy, what is it that you're dealing with? Are you dealing with the person's, with the spirit being's hand or something like that? Or are you dealing with some other negative impaction of their soul or something that's affixed to this being? Generally, the answer is no. Generally, what you are going to be actually coming across and communicating with, maybe, you may be interacting with this energy in some way, though you don't actually let it into yourself. And don't forget, friend, as a healer, you'll already have smudged yourself, you will have expunged any negative state, and you would have, of course, said an invocation or prayer to protect yourself at this time. So you are never going to be at risk in this situation. Although it's always a very good idea for healers to have a spinal cleanse at least once a month or something like that. I thoroughly recommend it, regardless of who they are or what their practice be. So then, getting back to this, the situation would be, shall we say then, that you actually feel that there is an energy problem somewhere. We'll say that it's around perhaps the third or fourth vertebrae of the thorax or something like that. Did you suddenly come across something that feels a bit like a bridge or a bit like a spike within the energy of the normal energy that you feel will be that the right side, the energy should be flowing to the head, and the left side, the energy should be returning back to the sacrum, to the ground, and that kind of thing. So, in actual fact, then what you are going to be revealed here is that you feel this spike that as you move your hands in this healing way, you actually interact with this. You are actually interacting, possibly, we're just saying in this term of event, that it's just a passing situation. So you are just feeling the energy is actually within the aura. It's not necessarily fixed or hanging on to the physical being. But the physical being can actually feel that there is, in this interaction, can actually feel something as well. It's a bit like pins in the back, that kind of thing. Or actually just a very strange, weird feeling that they would actually be aware of, being a sensitive, of course. And this will then be that you will just simply, using your left hand, which you either actually pass down to the left leg, directing the energy...
Your left leg.
Your left leg. You are directing the energy down your own physical body, so that it will, if you remember, like electricity moves across the conduit, it doesn't move within it. You always remember this, that if you see an electrical cable, the electricity moves around the outside of it, runs around the outside. It doesn't move within it. So likewise, it will be that the negative energy, once it is successfully removed by your healing energy with the spirit world, don't forget, that what will actually happen is that the negative energy will perhaps be moved by the forces of those spirit workers who work with you to actually help it on its way to ground the energy so that it is no longer attached to the actual physical patient that you are trying to heal. This, of course, in a sense, will only work if it's just a passing attachment, if it's just to do with the auric field or something like that. If you are looking at other forms of attachment, real attachment, that's a completely different situation. We have to insist here that this is nothing to do with some kind of cord that has to be cut. How often have you heard that, perhaps recently? Because it's some person's idea of how they're actually going to relieve someone of their negative energies. Oh, that's all right, I'll just cut the spirit's cord and then they'll be gone. That too,
or
unfortunately.
Send them to the light or something.
Yes, unfortunately, okay. It's completely false.
Yes, and that would be a whole new different program.
Yes, and also I have to say too, the condition of that, if you do actually even become successful at sending someone to the light, what are you actually doing? Are you actually really doing that? Or is it just that spirit is merely going to go and find some other light, some other person, another physical being to attach themselves to, or to plague, or to create havoc in their world? Or even just a funny feeling, a weird sort of sense of feeling, a negative situation around them, something like that.
Well, people genuinely do think that they are sending them to the light so that they're not going to go to anybody else. They just think that they're there because they're stuck. Obviously, because of the experience that we've had, you know, very often they're not stuck. Sometimes they are, but other times they're not.
Yes, and even if they are stuck, sending them to the light isn't going to unstick them. You have to do is
unravel them.
To unravel them, unravel the situation that has created that pathway in the first place.
Unravel their mind as well.
Yes, and that means, of course, communication.
Mm.
You aren't going to overcome this unless you communicate.
Mm. So what about, for instance, you were saying that it's good to do a spinal cleanse once a month or once a week,
yes,
or whatever, and I would have thought once a week if you're working as a healer.
It depends on how busy you are and
what kind
of energies you work with.
Plus, as well, I think if you're working in a situation where you're coming across lots of negative energies and people and distressing situations, maybe living in an area that is very negative, I think this is something good to do, maybe to each other or have done regularly. And obviously it's something that can be incorporated into any form of treatment, maybe Reiki treatment that you do on people. In this case, it would be them lying down, and that's okay too, as a sort of a wash and brush up, as we would say, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. And of course also, working in such environments as holistic centres or places that people come before they pass.
Yes, hospices and things like that. Yes, because we're not actually just talking about negative energies as in physical entities, you know, etheric entities. We're talking about energies, negative energies of thoughts and feelings and emotions that you pick up.
Absolutely so.
So this is something that, you know, so don't think that you have to do this because you think, you know, you've got somebody attached to you. It's something that is very, very healthy to do. But it will make you feel so light and carefree and just, you know, full of the joys of spring after you've had this done, really. You know, you just don't realise what you pick up, the emotions and the thoughts you pick up from other people as you go through your daily life.
Yes, emotional fields especially, my dear friend, because they can be something which is actually quite depleting to you as a healer, in perhaps the thoughts and feelings of you revisiting those situations, those communications that you have. Perhaps it's to do with, whatever is going through a person's mind, whatever troubles that they are dealing with at that time, emotional clearing and that kind of thing, is something which actually has its own hazards. And one must be understanding in how to actually protect oneself as well as dealing with the client's emotional needs.
Hmm. What about the chakras? I mean, when you're doing a spinal cleanse on somebody, you don't necessarily have to even think about the chakras, do you?
No, absolutely not. The whole issue here is not usually that the individual chakras are involved. In fact, it's actually by way of the pure channel between usually between and along the spine, which appears to be the weakest link of a human being. And this is quite true also of some animals as well. And remembering and to reflect upon the state that human beings are animals too. So this is also going to be something which perhaps you may have a dog or something like that who actually reacts very viciously to certain situations or circumstances. Perhaps also it may well be that an animal, a dog animal, or maybe even a horse may need certain forms of cleansing, particularly if it has had been living in a negative energy situation or environment. That animal will need to have a certain amount of recreation within its own energy to bring it in harmony once again into its life. This can be both emotional fields that is interactive with the physical life, and alternatively it can actually be to do with the fields of its own spirit identity, and perhaps the emotional fields of its own physical life have meant that the things that it has gone through, it has been unable to recover from.
So you're cleansing the aura of these creatures. I mean, very often in situations with things like horses and maybe kennel dogs or other animals that live in places that have had animals in them over a period of time, because you get a lot of, you know, like the death, the slaughter, and other situations over the years that have happened.
Of distress.
Of distress. That they pick up on, so that would be very helpful in that situation, and also to presumably sage and cleanse these places like you would if it was your own home.
Yes, periodically, absolutely so. And for example, then, if you are a person who keeps a stable or something like that, and you have a number of horses present, perhaps quite a large number of horses present, if it should be that you have a state where one passes, then you should really do a thorough cleanse of that horse's environment where it actually lived. And actually, but not in a negative, not saying that it's a negative energy, but really to really...
Changing the vibration in that place.
Yes, absolutely so. And as a way of farewell to the energy of that animal, and to, in a sense, give it healing into the next realm of life.
To sort of send it on its way, and to rejuvenate the energy in that environment, so that the next animal that goes in it doesn't pick up on the negativity.
Yes, absolutely so. How many times have you actually come across environments when particularly to do with animal welfare and husbandry, when there have been situations of recurrence from past misdeeds of human beings who have actually created harmful environments for animals during their own lifetime, and then that's something that was never actually cleansed or dealt with. This too then may mean that you actually have to, in a sense, on behalf of humanity, to ask the forgiveness of those who were actually in that animal's life. And perhaps it may well be, as I'm saying, you don't send them to the light. You encourage them to return to their soul group. If it's to do with horses or cattle or sheep or whatever, pigs, then you would actually have a sense of those animals, perhaps, and of their welfare, of the state of trauma that they went through. But in that kind of situation, you wouldn't actually engage with it too much, because it could actually be something that you are then open to and you can then suffer from yourself.
Well, I think this is fascinating, because we can, you know, I mean, there's the situation like, say, you've just bought a property that used to be a chicken farm or something like that. I mean, it's endless, isn't it? So
yes, absolutely.
A cleansing
so.
Of the area then, even if the chickens weren't used, it wasn't a used for slaughter, but for the production of eggs. I mean, there's
well,
still going to
still be slaughtered.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah. There's still going to be a lot of things going on there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Death.
So, yes.
So that's well, it's quite a minefield, really, isn't it? Literally. So, well, we've come to time, and it's been really fascinating. I'm sure our listeners have got a lot out of this subject today, and it's a lot of food for thought, a lot to take in.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
With that and that.
Thank you, Ben.
Until next time, be peaceful and mindful in your walk, as always. God bless.
Thank you. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show, and please join us on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and we are with you again on Monday and then again on Thursday, and hopefully we'll have a better sound for you. Well, we definitely will have a better sound for you the next show. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.